What's up, everybody, and welcome to the Swolecast here on RotoGrinders.com. I'm Soccer Dad, a.k.a. Soccer Dave, a.k.a. David Kitchen, joined by FF Comedy. I just saw your handle. Yes, on FanDuel, you can find Peter Overs at the FF Comedy Hour underscore Pete. What's your DraftKings name, Pete?
Is it just Overs Top?
Oh, that's right. Yep. It's Reversi's Top. But then you learn your lesson with Underdog, right?
I did. It's just Peter Overs at for the brand, right, Davis? That's how you do it?
I got ahead of this 10 years ago. People should have followed me. They weren't smart enough to do it.
But didn't you not get ahead of it with your website, which then Dave owned for a long time?
Yeah. Dave did own it because I let the
license. You had never registered it before.
Is that it? You're right. Yeah, I hadn't. I did get
that was one of my best jokes I've ever done because I registered it in January or February knowing that it was going to be an April Fool's bit. So it was, you know, that was a fun one. Those were the good old days. But yeah, like I was explaining to, so for some reason they asked me to help with onboarding all the Better Collective US people like from the Action Network, Rotor Grinders, Scores and Odds, Vegas Insiders. And so I'm like, I caught myself just rambling about how I'm Soccer Dave, but also David Kitchen. I know they were just like, just please be quiet, Boomer. Like, I'm just trying to get this done. But like, I would like to eventually retire the brand Soccer Dave. Like,
why?
And be,
it's pretty entrenched at this point. I don't know. I mean, Dave, you would actually have to do work to spin up a new brand, and I don't think you're capable of doing that right now.
Yeah, no, it's, I
he's
mean,
got, he's got too much on his plate.
Right. You know, corporate, all that stuff. But people still call me Soccer Dave. And,
Dave, do you wear a fitness watch?
Of course. Well, I wear an Apple Watch.
Yeah. Pete, let's laud and thinks what Dave's resting heart rate is.
So here's the thing. I'm not a performance watch guy. I actually want to get one. So I don't even have like good baseline references for this stuff like all of you guys do.
What's your guess?
Feels like you should 100%. Like this is totally in your realm. I'm back on like my Huberman Lab, like life optimization bullshit right now.
What's your guess, Davis?
65. Honestly, good for a guy your age with the stress and hours you work.
So I had the life insurance lady come out.
She does like house calls.
Yeah, so they come to your house, and I put it off like for a while. Like I was telling my financial advisor, like no, I'll get to it. Then I was thinking, I don't want like the bad news. I don't want them to tell me something's wrong. And like surprisingly everything was in like the good range. So happy to report that I have full coverage life insurance.
That's good to hear. Dave, people love to know how the sausage gets made with the Swolecast. You are no longer producing. We have switched streaming platforms, perhaps to the platform I suggested we do all along. Can you kind of explain about this massive shift in how we produce this show?
Yeah. You see, Pete, sometimes there's a thing called trial and error. There's split tests. It's all about testing. Once if you want to get into how the sausage is made from like a marketing standpoint, always be testing. ABT is what they say. And so we tested another platform, and it wasn't just Liam from last week or 2 weeks ago who had issues. It was also Kevin Roth who had issues. So instead of like sticking out with EV Mux because of their pro scenes, which StreamYard cannot do at this time, we just decided to go back to what's easiest. And that is A, StreamYard, cloud-based solution, and B, having someone actually produce the show. And I'm happy to welcome back producer Sosa to the show.
Welcome back.
Yeah, producer Sosa off his paternity leave, new girl dad, #girl dad. And man, imagine like going from changing diapers to producing this whole cast.
Sounds like a jarring shift, but just one of the many things you juggle, Dave, as a dad and a producer.
I know. I just forgot that I was drafting my first best ball lineup of the season, so I guess it auto-drafted the rest of it. I was on DraftKings. It's all right.
Wow.
Right. Just a $3 contest.
You decided to get your feet wet for best ball season on DraftKings?
Yeah, I mean, people might not know, but I used to be a DraftKings pro, so
just admit it that you have a few shekels on DraftKings and don't have anything 100% in your underdog account.
There is like, you know, there's your DK balance for fantasy and the sports book, and then like they don't carry over all the time, so I've got some that's still in the fantasy that's left in the best ball. That'll be dedicated to the best ball. So
how many drafts do you think you'll get to this summer? The season kicks off across all the sites that you play on. How many best ball drafts do you think you complete?
100.
Under. And I would like to book the under.
And you're at one right now.
But here's the thing about me. I'm zero or I'm 100.
Dave, if anyone listening to this would like to offer me money on the under, I am also assuming that DraftKings doesn't give out a bunch of tickets for this. If DraftKings gives out a bunch of tickets, then bet is void.
What, you think DraftKings is just naturally going to fill a million entry tournament?
Yeah. So I'm assuming that
till everyone gets really upset in the last week when DraftKings starts giving out.
But they didn't. They didn't last year. They did not. People assumed it was, and it did not happen last year.
But once I'm in, I'm in. Like it's going to be July, August. It's going to be
Dave.
That's
why
I'm not starting till now.
The Titans.
People that draft April until August, there is no way that doesn't get old at some point.
It's getting a little old right now. I'm gonna be honest.
It's only June. It's only June 8th.
You guys blow your load though. Like I've been drafting since then too, but I'm still only at like 35 total drafts, 40 drafts. You guys just blast it off.
I do like 15 a day.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, this is who has time to do 15?
Not 15. I do like 10 a day. I do like 10 a day.
That's absurd. That's an absurd amount. I get so excited. Last night I did one after Club Top Shot because I was like, I haven't done a draft in like 3 days, just not on stream. And I was so excited to find 45 minutes. How do you? You're Dave. You're on Dave level if you're able to rip off 10 of these during the day. What are you doing?
I mean, I do them. I do three while I'm working out. I do. So if you really want to get in the weeds.
I do.
I get up. I make my coffee. I let my dogs out. I enter one, then like the next 30 minutes or so, I'm feeding the dogs, I'm getting my coffee, I'm getting set up, and I get my gym bag ready. I go to the gym, I do my warm up cardio, my backwards walking, knees over toes guy, and I'm about wrapped up with one. Then I go stretch, then I lift, then I go back and do my underdog cardio club. Normally knock out two during that. Then normally I will do at least one in the afternoon, and then. It just depends on what's happening in the evening. Like if my partner's got somewhere she needs to be, I'm ripping them off. I normally do one before bed, you know.
Your fiance.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. So I want to talk about this underdog cardio club because
I'm here to answer your questions, Dave.
Is Pete paying me royalties or what?
I feel like this kind of started on the show when I suggested that we do a draft with Davis on the Stairmaster.
No, you're wrong. You're wrong.
This is so good. Dave now trying to take credit.
No,
for it
because
too.
Like
this is the first time in history that Pete has ever stolen one of my bits. This is the one and only time it'll ever happen.
Well, and I wouldn't even say stealing. Stolen. I amplified it for you, Davis.
Sure.
And be honest, you weren't going to make the video, write up the rules, do all of the paperwork, the admin stuff, sifting through the tweets. You were never going to do that.
Give us an elevator pitch, Pete, under 30 seconds on what is the Underdog Cardio Club for those that
yeah, so the
have
origin
not wanted
is,
to click on it.
The origin is, of course, Kitchen founding the Underdog Cardio Club. It was his idea back in the day. Dave used to always do these drafts where he would be exercising. No, so yeah, the concept is you do a BBM3 draft while doing some form of cardio. I prefer the Stairmaster. Some people do recumbent bike, Peloton, treadmill, whatever. Some people are even kind of doing a light jog, I guess, outside to pull it off.
Bynefor is walking his dogs.
I hope he's getting his heart rate up because it feels like he might be kind of, you know, skirting around the spirit of it there a little bit. But after that, then you are just posting them, 7 tweets, 7 drafts, and then you will be entered. You will become a part of the Underdog Cardio Club. It comes with a tank, comes with access to a private Discord, and a special piece of utility that we have not announced yet that anyone who completes this is going to get. So anyone who's a BBM3 grinder or Underdog grinder will be very excited about this additional reward.
So it's 7 of the BBM3. So you can't do 7 puppies.
No puppy. I mean, $35 in entries on tournaments that are already going to fill, you know, that's not really helping the bottom line. Yeah. Got to pony up the $25.
Yeah. Okay. So, very nice. And everyone's not doing it at the same time. Like everyone in a draft obviously is not on the treadmill.
Correct. Although I've talked to Rudmid, like how fun would it be if we had a live event that was like the Soul Cycle instructor and it was like everyone was in the same draft.
That's going to be this show. It was going to be the show. Davis wouldn't do it though.
The thing is,
will you commit to doing it now?
No.
Why not?
I don't want to.
Gosh.
My issue is, so I go to the gym to use the Stairmaster. I'm contemplating trying to do a cardio club on the rowing machine in my basement, though. I feel like it would be much harder, though.
It's just, yes. I've done a draft on the rower before, and it becomes a little silly. You know,
Peloton would also, well, I feel like rower would maybe be easier and more healthier than Peloton because you could at least get, like, depending on when your pick was, because you could at least do like you know, resting and then do your pick and then go at it and then rest, you know, in between picks. Whereas Peloton, you are like bending over, having to be on your phone while you like you do certain cycles. Like that would be really tough.
That's why I like the Stairmaster, because I crank it up pretty fast when I'm not picking. And then when I'm like one out on deck, I throttle it way down, make my pick, throttle it back up.
Yeah. Do you think you are healthier this year than you were last year already?
Yes. Yes. After my Hawaii trip, I buckled down. I would say I'm in the second best shape I've ever been, other than man's pre-gambling Olympics.
Oh man, you were hot to trot. I remember that was like kind of your introduction to the world, and people just could not believe how ripped the man's was.
There were a lot of sacrifices to get to that point. Sacrifices I'm not quite making now, but pretty dialed in.
Okay, let's talk about being in shape, because this past week has been, I don't know if it's like a shaming type of thing, but it's best shape of your life, worst shape of your life. We've seen the pictures of Fat Lenny, and like, is anybody surprised?
It's bad.
Is anybody surprised though? Like how he showed up?
I don't remember that being a thing from him in the past.
His entire nickname was Fat Lenny.
Fat Lenny was his nickname.
I know, but he's gotta be like 260 pounds, dude. I mean, far be it for me to body shame anyone, cause I was talking to Leone about this earlier today. It's like, I'm in the best shape of my life, but I'm still fat. Like I am stronger, faster, better cardiovascular shape than I've ever been in my life, but I am still fat. So I still probably should not body shame him, but
yeah. What do you think about this comment? He's got the build to talk fantasy football once a week on a live
He really, really, that guy there is just stealing your bit, Pete, from your every fantasy football podcast video.
Yeah.
All right. And then we also have Treylon Burks, who like, they just basically admitted like, hey, it's not like
run. He's in
bad shape, but he has asthma. How are you going to pick a guy that has asthma. And he can't, like, I feel like, I don't know how they're going to, like, how do you cure asthma? You know, like, Davis, I need your doctor prognosis on wide receivers with asthma. Like, you just take an inhaler and that just is the cure all for this?
I mean, if, I don't know. I have literally no clue. Like, I think it's just something. I just think it's just something you got to battle through, right?
I mean, Dave, to me, this is an extremely on brand selection for the Titans. You guys are used to AJ Brown leaving after one quarter. So let Treylon Burks come in here, do his one quarter, be out of breath, and then leave the field. You guys are very familiar.
Julio looked so out of shape that game one last season. It was apparent he was not in shape. But yes, AJ Brown, like, it does not appear to be going well on the Treylon Burks front. However, the flip side, Derrick Henry, some of these workout videos, he might, it's going to be a surprise to some, but I'm just saying he might have the best season of his life. He might be in the best shape. He might be in the best shape of his life. If you watch these workout videos, no one has tougher workout videos than Derrick Henry. Like, Dave, they are ridiculous.
You are like the quintessential just NFL fan, both over and underreacting to the most basic tramp trading camp.
Dave is like the guy who watches Good Morning Football and like gets his opinions from that. Like, that's Dave.
Like, sports radio, local sports radio talk.
That's like literally you, dude. Like, you are the guy. You are Rob Lowe wearing the NFL hat in the stands.
I do have an NFL draft hat that I wear frequently that I got in Nashville. Amazing. I don't feel like Treylon Burks, though, is like overreacting. The guy has asthma. That seems bad for a wide receiver.
He looks like an absolute unit in the videos that have come out from minigame. The guy looks gigantic.
Yeah.
Don't lots of people have asthma? Isn't it treatable? You get an inhaler.
Yeah, I feel like there have been other athletes who have had asthma. Like, I don't think it's a total...
That's why I was asking, like, how do, okay, hold on.
Sosa says he has asthma.
Producer Sosa has asthma.
Bring Sosa in here.
Sosa,
bring Sosa.
Get on this
we need
show
boots
right
on
now.
The ground.
We
Come
got
in,
some
Sosa.
Questions. All right, so what's...
First, unmute yourself. Next, hey. Thank you for your service as an asthma survivor.
Yeah, so Sosa, what's the plan here for Treylon, sorry.
So at least with me, my rescue inhaler, it kind of raises your heart rate a little. So I don't know if that'd
it
be
does.
Great.
It does.
I don't
do
think
that.
That'd be great to be doing mid-game.
Okay.
And I also don't know, are you allowed? Like, there was a UFC fighter who in between rounds used his inhaler and he was disqualified.
Yeah.
I would bet there's got to be an exception in the NFL.
But Pete just said that there's a cure for it. So no, what is it, Sosa?
There's no cure. Not that I'm aware of.
Emmett Smith had asthma. I'm going to go ahead and write this off as a nothing burger.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, I think if so, then you need to be drafting lots of Treylon Burks because he is falling big time in drafts.
Do you know what's so sick about society?
Yeah.
Elon Musk is out here making flamethrowers and we don't even have a cure for asthma yet.
Jerome Bettis had asthma. Dennis Rodman. Jackie Joyner-Kersee had asthma. I'm officially writing this off as literally no big deal. If Jackie Joyner-Kersee had asthma, there's no way this matters at all for Treylon Burks.
You know how I know you're a boomer? Is because you know who Jackie Joyner-Kersee is.
I'm pretty sure you just Wikipedia'd a list of people with asthma.
I literally did. You are correct. I literally Wikipedia'd athletes with asthma.
Of course, He went from like not knowing anyone to just listing all these people. All right, now do type 1 diabetes, David.
Jesus,
there can't be very many, right?
Jay Cutler was one. I remember that.
Oh yeah,
isn't diabetes like an interaction with being fat?
No.
Type 2 diabetes is if you're
we're really out ahead of our skis on this one, guys.
All right. Anyways. Other camp reactions, overreactions, underreactions. I saw Najee Harris was talking about him being like he was upset there. What are some other overreactions you think, Pete, is out there?
Well, I mean, yeah. So we have all the tropes, best shape of their life, gained weight. The other big one is which running backs are catching passes. We had the Dalvin Cook report yesterday. We had the Ramondre Stevenson has been working on his pass catching. What are our other tropes, Davis, from training camp?
Well, running backs on the field at the same time. That's the biggest one, right? Right. Oh, Tony Pollard, Ezekiel Elliott, they're on the field at the same. Now, the biggest riser in ADP this offseason has been Nyheim Hines.
He is up
like 30 spots since Frank Reich said, if I had a fantasy football team, I'd want Nyheim Hines on my team, which, by the way, honestly, at first I was ready to wipe that off, but no one loves to check down at their running backs more than Matt Ryan. And Jonathan Taylor got 8 targets in the last 6 games last year for the Colts. And I can't remember. I think this was Liam's theory, which is that Wentz just hates checking down. Like, Wentz is just not a check down guy. So that's why Nyheim Hines had a down year last year and why he's out on McKissick. So I'm kind of buying into that. But I mean, I think that we got to talk about week 17 correlation, right? That's like the big topic these days. That's our, you know, every season in fantasy football, there's like a different trope that really hits the discourse, and this year it's week 17 correlation.
Tell me what happened on your show with Josh and Hayden, because I didn't watch, but I just heard people talking about it.
Josh lost his mind is what happened. Josh had obviously he knew about like the week 17 correlation, but I just summarized your video at the beginning, and I was like, you know, all the money's in week 17. All I really care about is winning a lot of money, and my player takes are probably going to be slightly better than the market, but probably not that much better. So I'm just trying to get as much correlation as possible. And I think what really sent him was when I picked Tyler Allgeier slightly ahead of ADP to correlate with Zach Ertz. And I think he was just like, this is too much. Like, I can't.
That was the end of it.
He was like, I had already made one selection. Like, I took Zach Ertz to correlate with Drake London. And that was a little irking to him. But I think the Tyler Allgeier pick, I think he was like, I can't abide by this.
Put yourself in Josh's shoes. He is an analyst.
Yeah, he's Mr. Grinder.
Hours upon hours studying everything. And then to have someone say, well, nothing else matters except for week 17. Matchup.
I mean, this is like the original sort of pushback from like the fantasy football is a fun hobby. You know, we love fantasy football. We love the game, but like, it's not that. It's like, this was the pushback that RotoViz got, right? From kind of the established, the establishment of the fantasy football community.
You think Josh is part of the establishment?
No, this was more like, I remember talking to like Sigmund Bloom and stuff about this, like way back in the day, was like, this stuff just makes fantasy football less fun because it's so formulaic.
Yeah. Well, kind of the same thing for tournaments and, like, not playing the best plays, like fading the highest owned players. Like, the same thing is people, I still have a hard time wrapping my head around that. Like, I don't want to fade the best matchups every week. Like, I don't want to do that.
Interesting, Dave.
Well, it is. And it's funny how it's a means of, you know, what, you know, is your fancy. Like, I love like the game theory approach and trying to approach it from that angle. I it's so fun. And I know Davis, you have fun with the correlations too. Like, that's what actually gets me excited in drafts. I can understand how, if you're a player take guy and then this tournament isn't, you know, constructed in a way that your player takes matter, how that could be frustrating. But the thing is too, I don't even think it would be that hard to correct. Like, say you took an extra million from the prize pool and you had $2 million that were spread out to regular season winners too, or maybe you did them in chunks where it was more like, you know, weeks 1 through 6.
You don't even have to do all that. It's just winning your 12-man pool comes with like enough prize money to make that worth your while from grinding, right? Like if you win, say you advance 30% of your teams with 10% of them winning your individual league, like, you've profited. Like if you redistributed the prize pool that way, that, I mean, and not only that, but that makes drafts so much more interesting because you would have your Leone types who are like, all I care about is advancing this team. I just want to advance this team. And then you have your player take guys, and the player take guys are not drawing dead to have a profitable year because they could win a bunch of their leagues if they get their player takes right. And then you have your week 17, all I care about is first place bros, also drafting. That's like a super fun game.
Yeah. And It, because what you're trying to do, and I know Kitchen has thoughts on this as well, but you're trying to create the dynamic that you have in good dynasty leagues where you have people approaching 100%. It from completely different angles. You'd have the contenders, the week 17 bros. You'd have the rebuilders, which would in this scenario would be, I just want to get an ROI on my entry. And all of a sudden you'd have very different kind of styles within drafts that would make it so fun.
Yeah. They're like the min cash bros are definitely a thing.
Well, and it's also kind of analogous to the playoff tournaments that they run where you have people who are just building to advance out of that first week, like the wild card round or whatever, whereas you're just trying to get your like Super Bowl matchup team, just squeeze them, eke them on through, knowing that if you can get them there, but then you're probably going to get beat most of the time by someone who optimizes for that first week. And so anything that would balance that out, I think ultimately would probably be a good thing.
This is why I think eventually it's hard to scale from like a business standpoint, but from an entertainment standpoint, nothing beats the auction draft, and it presents another kind of element to the stacking and who you're taking. I think that people are going to start getting burned out on snake drafts in a few years when they're doing 150 snake drafts.
Not you're so wrong.
I disagree on this take because one of the other pushbacks I see from some of the best ball grinders to the week 17 stuff is there's this ability to mindlessly do it. Just rip off drafts. You know how to just draft within structure relatively well. It takes added thought to start thinking about the correlations, the matchups, finding it in the right pockets. And I think people just enjoy like the rhythm of just drafting and how easy it is. Like an auction draft, while very fun, requires
too much attention,
brain power to do it. And you couldn't do that repeatably like you can snake drafts.
But that's what they used to say about snake drafts as well.
What was before snake drafts?
Well, as far as best ball drafts, like you couldn't have a business just with best ball drafts because no one is manually drafting 150 teams.
I think you'd also be more ripe for like collusion and having to throw out so many drafts, like timeouts on stuff too. I do think it'd be harder to moderate from like a fairness perspective.
Okay. Well, just know I'm predicting burnout is coming. Maybe not this year, maybe not next year.
This is like an all-time Dave terrible
take. People love to draft snake drafts so much, Dave.
Yeah. 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 This doesn't have an iota of truth in it.
I'm not saying that like there's not going to be $1 million contest. I'm saying,
Dave, you are projecting. You are projecting your mind state on a populace that does not agree with you.
Well,
you personally, you David Kitchen, get burnt out on things very quickly.
The rise of this is true, and there are people like me out there.
But there are way more people like me who are whose brains are broken and just need action at all times.
Yeah. But this is what I'm kind of saying, like the thing about best ball, like it was great. I was actually thinking about this today because I signed up, for my first best ball draft, and in 2 seconds it was filled, and it's June 8th. That never used to happen. And the fact that you don't have to wait, and that's what draft really provided to us, right? Like what Jared, and now Underdog as well. And now DraftKings. And I think you're going to get to the point where so many people are playing that the next rise will be auction drafts. That's my prediction. It doesn't mean that snake drafts are going away. I'm saying that people will look for something else.
There's no way.
Dave, you should double down on your super flex take here because that has a way better chance of happening.
Yeah.
That super flex becomes like the standard in the biggest tournament.
Yeah.
I could see that happening.
Spin the wheel and then whatever it lands on the format, that's where you go.
Wow, now you're stealing my randomizer?
No, spin the wheel draft was, as you recall, my idea for the draft that I never did 2 years ago.
It's crazy how you invented so many things you didn't invent.
Well, no,
Speaking of which, I do have to plug.
I just didn't execute.
I do have to plug. Who knows? This will probably come out in 2 weeks. But Davis and I are doing a randomizer draft tomorrow night. Davis is somehow his first time doing the randomizer show. So Davis, how scared are you of some of those prompts rolling in?
Davis isn't going to do it. He is not flexible.
I'm going to Silva you is what's going to end up happening.
No, you're not.
I won't. I won't. Like, I will much rather do awful shit to my $5 puppy team than like have to tweet anything embarrassing.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He's not a fun guest. He's going to be like anti-fun with some of this stuff.
If Davis falls on the Silva spectrum, it's going to be a tough scene for him. The internet will not be kind to Davis.
No, I mean, I'll have more fun than Evan. Like Evan, like it's like communicating with Evan via the internet sometimes feels like trying to like, you know, send a telegram or something. Like he just doesn't get some of the base layers of internet communication. But I mean, I'm not going to like, I'm probably not going to send any dumb tweets. So if the prompt is sending like a dumb tweet, I'm not on board with that. I've been working on memorizing. A lot of people, you know, have been picking up this bit because of the underdog stream the other day of memorizing all the week 17 games. I wouldn't be able to list all of them. So if you're like, Davis, you got to list all of them. But if it was like a flashcard style system where you like, who do the Seahawks play or whatever, then
I guess my question is, why would you wait or have the randomizer be the event that prevents you from tweeting dumb shit?
I want to tweet dumb shit of my own accord.
This is a great promo. Davis telling you what he's not going to do on the show that is predicated around people doing stuff.
Well, some of the prompts that people were tweeting at him were very funny. And I'm
don't worry. Yeah. I am a good curator of the prompts. I'm not going to do anything.
Like Davis is never going to do a TikTok dance.
Yeah.
I don't think anyone suggested either of us do a TikTok dance.
I would.
But I will. I saw people.
I would pay to see Davis do a TikTok dance.
I saw people requesting the skateboard. So I will go get my skateboard out of my car and I will bring it down.
Okay. That's good to know.
One of my buddies, we found via TikTok, a TikTok dance he did with the team he coaches. And it was so bad. And it provided us with so many gifts. Like, I feel like that is a great, would be amazing form of punishment for Davis having to, but he doesn't do it. One of our first bets he did was he had to sing a song that I picked out. And I think it was like, I Will Always Love You or some sort of ballad. And after he lost, he's like, no, I'm just not going to do it.
Correct.
So
what, Davis, do you have you ever been on TikTok? Do you even have a TikTok account to browse?
No, I do what all 30-year-olds do, which is I refuse to get TikTok because I'm a grown man, but I watch the reels on Instagram all day, which are just the same shit.
I was going to say, is skateboard culture on TikTok at all?
There are like TikTok skaters or whatever, but like that shit's really lame. And me and my friends would think that's really lame.
You're so
wild posting the stories to Instagram.
Correct.
Yeah, all they do is take the TikToks, they plug it in to this app.
You know that Dave can't look at my Instagram because I blocked him.
Why?
Because Dave did rule number one thing you can't do when you're friends with someone online is you can't take something from their personal page and put it on Twitter. And Dave broke that rule, so I had to block
him. I'm sorry, at DavisMatic on Instagram is the same thing as at DavisMatic.
Yeah, but I don't share things from like my personal, like internal life on Twitter, and I do that on purpose.
Davis went to an art exhibit in Denver, and he like tweeted the picture like, oh, it's so deep, or something like that. Where he was like serious, and it was so ridiculous that I had to let everybody else know. But anyone else that followed Davis publicly could have seen it.
Could have.
How about does this break the code, Davis, when I screenshot Jack's Puma ads on Instagram and post them on Twitter?
No, because Jack is a whole different category of person. Like normal rules do not apply to Jack. But if Jack posted some picture with his partner on Instagram or whatever, and he didn't post it on Twitter, that would be over. You would not do that.
Yeah. There's some unwritten rules.
Dave literally broke one of the unwritten rules of online friendship.
I'm sorry. If you got so upset that I screenshotted a picture of a painting that you wanted everyone to know
it's not about the specific violation. It's that you violated it to begin with.
Hi, my name's Davis. I am cultured. I went to an art exhibit. Here's my thoughts.
Correct. So Dave doesn't even know that I'm good at skateboarding again because he's not allowed.
Davis, I can like I've got different burners. I can see anything if I wanted to see your Instagram account. I have no want or desire to see your skateboarding videos on Instagram.
Really? I enjoy seeing them.
Good yeah. friend.
Yeah. If anything I post on Instagram is normally just related to my kids. So that's every year on Facebook or Instagram, I come back, I see the stories and it reminds me of it. That's a Dan Bock special. It is
interesting. These various personas and brands that we cultivate in these different spheres of the internet.
Yeah.
I use my Instagram the
like
same way.
Hiking and like adventures, trips, that sort of thing.
I pick my spots. Like I posted my engagement farmer photo over there because I'm like, this is way more universal than why week 17 is the only thing that matters. Like I feel yeah. like some of my college friends might find the engagement farmer bit funny, but don't give a shit about best ball strategy.
Yeah.
And I'm never making an Instagram fantasy account. That's not happening. So
yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, dad influencer it's tough. Like people don't understand that influencer.
I literally can't imagine an easier way to influence. Like it feels like anyone who's a dad and their kids are reasonably cute. Like they're like,
no, but it's not that dad influencers aren't about like posting things about their kids. It's posting things that help like other dads.
Those kids, so, those like, don't have to be mutually exclusive though.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, no dad is like following another dad because of their cute kids. Like that's not a thing.
I guess for dads it's different, but like my fiance follows lots of moms and all they do is post
exactly.
pictures. And all they do is post pictures of their kids and they make millions of dollars.
No, I Kitchen, know some I will mom say influencers. Go ahead.
Your I'm trying to it must have been from like a month ago. You had a video. I don't know which of your daughters. It was at a soccer game and she scored a goal in the opposition was trying to give her a high five and she kind of like somewhat like noticed it and then just was like, "Nah, I'm not high-fiving you."
Yeah. I will say I did one reel and it was about my middle daughter and like it's still like it gets 10 likes a day by randos and I'm like, oh, I don't know how I feel about this. I forgot that kind of the Instagram algo just puts random stuff in your feed. It's not just whoever follows you. Yeah. So anyways, all right, back to the NFL and scandals.
Uh-oh.
Deshaun Watson.
I can't find a place to bet the under on the I already missed it.
Here's the thing. I'm going to be giving this away right now. Carlucci, who has been on absolute tear, the Looch on Scores and Odds, posted a bet today.
Wait, you mean the Looch, like the DFS complainer?
No,
from like 9
different
years ago?
One. Oh, okay. This is Luch.
I was about to be like, this is what a small world this has just become all of a sudden.
No. No, I forgot what even happened to that guy. He was LOO.
Whatever happened to Crazy Gaby?
I don't know. That's that's I'm waiting for season 2 of Fantasyland to come out for that. those are going to be some amazing stories.
It would be one of those things where it's like, how hilarious would it be if I spent like 50 hours making a hyper produced documentary about Crazy Gaby and there's like 400 people on the entire planet who would care about it, but those 400 people would like eat it up so much.
I'd be one of them. Let's see. Does Crazy Gaby still have a Twitter?
Ethan Haskell. What does that name mean to you? Well, to some it means like, I just like, there's so many different.
Did I tell you when I went to, it was the Roto Grinders party right before the pandemic
in Nashville
and I was on the same flight as Ethan Haskell and I still never and he we were playing basketball against each other. I still never got a formal introduction. So Ethan and I have gone the way of Aguiar. Actually, no, I met Aguiar. So
yeah, I can introduce you.
Story.
I can introduce you to Ethan. No problem. Okay. I'm not sure he's gonna be talking much to your Fantasyland doc, but we'll
I'm gonna need some tell-alls for this.
Yeah. I got you.
Crazy,
all right.
Crazy Gaby is a storm chaser now, Dave.
What?
I saw he was predicting like Bitcoin patterns at one point. Now he's
that was that
chasers.
That was one of his things for a while. Was he did a Bitcoin YouTube channel? I think
so. This guy's just a forecaster at heart.
Yeah. Dude started legit the first ever daily fantasy like live show. He was before the daily fantasy radio was before like Grinders Live. So
incredible.
Yeah.
All right. Anyways, getting back to the Browns, the Luch posted a bet plus 550 for the Browns to finish fourth in the AFC North.
There's no earthly way Deshaun Watson is playing a football game this year. I thought he was going to
have a single game. It's not just that. It's that Baker Mayfield might not be playing for them either.
Baker is 0%. I would say it's more likely. I would make Deshaun Watson a favorite to play for the Browns this year over Baker Mayfield.
Yeah, so BetMGM, promo code GrindersBet. I'm not sure if that's even still the promo code.
you don't know if our advertiser is elected to get.
No, they're not. They're not advertising right now. That's what I'm saying.
Can we put out a request for a Swolecast specific advertiser just to kind of really see what we can return, what kind of clout we have right now? Do you want, if this, see this spot right to the left and right of me, your advertisement could go here. Or if it's good enough, it could even replace Davis, like depending on how much it is.
Yeah, we'd split the screen when Tuttle comes back, a half screen.
We got to get Tuttle back. I mean, it's been what? Months.
He will not respond to, like, you saw like I even said the people are clamoring for Tuttle, and he is just knee deep in projections and Pwn.
The people miss it. Like last night on Club Top Shot, we haven't had a show with the core group together in months too, and people, they miss it. They miss the Tuttle element here,
right? And Tuttle could just even be like in the corner, just like still on his computer, like,
working on his ownership project. Right.
You don't have to tell him he could do that. That's what he would be doing.
He'll say something that we'll have to move quickly from to the next topic, and it will be just like old times. So anyways, if you haven't already, please like this video. I don't even know what's the title of this video gonna be called. Like I don't know what this one is.
Best shape of your life.
Yeah, best shape
of your life. The Swolecast is in the worst shape of its life. There's your title.
But yeah, as far as Cleveland goes, staying away from everybody Cleveland related, Davis.
I mean, I was, even before this like second wave of stuff came out, I wasn't drafting them anyways because I liked Deontay Johnson slightly more than Amari Cooper. And I didn't like Deshaun Watson's ADP because I always imagined there was a suspension. So I would just take Godwin over Amari Cooper. And obviously I'm not drafting Nick Chubb. And if drafting a handcuff running back in the sixth round, I like AJ Dillon over Kareem Hunt. Donovan Peoples-Jones is probably the one I've drafted the most of because his price doesn't matter who's quarterback. He's just got to catch two long touchdowns.
I like all those cheap guys, Njoku, David Bell, and DPJ. Sure. But yeah. I do agree. It's just like, I feel like Amari's maybe the easiest fade on Underdog right now.
Also, like literally imagine being like, I really hope I win $2 million. So I got to show up and really hope for Deshaun Watson to do really well today. Like, bad spot to be in. And obviously every transaction under capitalism is unethical anyways, but that one feels extra unethical.
It does. I would agree with you, except like you don't have any problem cheering for Tyreek Hill over the past few seasons.
Honestly, that is not true. Like, obviously it is hard to convey
when you were like Reek in all caps, like,
but like when it's, and also it's like just like obviously fandom so poisons your brain because it's so much easier now for me to be like, I'm glad he's gone or whatever. But I'm not saying that I am like this perfect moral example and I have everything all.
Oh, no one else
out,
is saying
like,
that either. So,
but like rooting for Tyreek Hill, was like an uncomfortable moral compromise that I made for myself, and it feels better at the end of the day that he is not a chief.
Yeah. You've gone the typical fan route. Like, this will be the way once Cleveland, like right now, Cleveland fans are just hoping Deshaun Watson will somehow get cleared. And then when he doesn't and gets released, they're going to be like, oh, I'm glad he's gone. Like, once the 25th.
But like, here's the thing. I don't blame any Browns. Like, Now, if Browns fans are like getting on Twitter and being like, these women are all lying or whatever, like that, I can't abide by. But if someone is like, you know what? The Browns have sucked my whole life. A lot of NFL players have bad guys on their team. Like, I'm just going to still be a Browns fan. I'm not like, yeah. I'm not going to make a moral judgment on that either way. But like, I wouldn't be like, you're a bad person for rooting for the Browns.
Okay. I didn't know we were going to go there, but we did.
Swolecast contains multitudes. Yeah. We have range.
Well, I just got off a 2-hour podcast with Brian Hooper before this, and we were touching on much touchier subjects than Deshaun Watson. So I'm in that mind state.
We've weighed in on asthma, diabetes.
Diabetes was just like a throwaway.
Wow, clip that. Diabetes is just a throwaway. Like, Soccer the topic. Day.
The topic.
Wait till we didn't diabetes really... Twitter gets a hold of that one, Dave.
We didn't go like deep into that subject. It was just the fact of players playing with.
So I do want to go back to this point though. Oh, the Trevor Bauer thing really put the NFL between a rock and a hard place, right? Like the fact that Bauer is in a similar situation where charges were filed and. But it's still playing out in court. And before that even ended, he was suspended for 2 seasons.
I'm sorry. I don't think anything has put the NFL in a hard place. Like, you...
That's true, I guess.
Like, you had a video of Ray Rice. And...
But he did get suspended when the video came out.
Exactly.
And that was it. He never played again, right?
Part of that was because he was, like, an old running back. You have 20-something women coming out against Deshaun Watson, who is in his prime right now, and the Browns still give him this huge contract.
Yeah, and Kevin Cole made this point, which was like there's like this – I think there maybe if there will be this rush to criticize just the Browns, but
yeah.
Evidence suggested basically – 10 to 15 other teams were also offering him money. So
not the Titans.
Well, they got Malik Willis, buddy.
It's true. And he is just a good guy. The dude is just a solid guy.
So Davis, at what point do we start drafting Jacoby Brissett?
What's the possible upside with Jacoby Brissett? You know, I'd rather draft another Taysom Hill team. Where are you at on the Taysom Hill thing? Obviously, Leone and Bankmeyer are telling me I'm the dumbest drafter of all time. Liam is egging me on. So I need calm Pete to come in.
No, I've done it a few times. I'm pro it when it makes sense, right? So if you get funneled to a 3 tight end build, and then if you have any kind of, you know, correlation, like if you have an AJ Brown team and you get funneled to a 3 tight end build, like stuff like that. If I go down that path, I like it. I think it makes some sense. But I'm not jamming just like Taysom Hill every draft.
What do you think? What do you think, Dave?
No, hard. I'd rather just get Tanny.
Taysom is eligible at tight end on Underdog, David.
Yeah.
So does cheat that... code, the skeleton key to Best Ball Mania 3. Should I make a video, David? Yes. Should we make a video about Taysom Hill and then trigger everyone?
Because that was always the thing. The OGs remember that in college football, this happened a few times.
Do you remember the NFL player that actually broke the scoring? I wonder if you remember. He also played for the New Orleans Saints.
Do not.
Marcus Colston, his rookie season for the New Orleans Saints was classified as a tight end.
I vaguely remember that.
And this was 2006, so this was before your time, but he had 70 receptions, 8 touchdowns, 1,000 yards as a tight end eligible player as a rookie.
So Jarvis Landry reportedly tearing it up at camp. Overreaction, Davis?
I would hope a veteran wide receiver who's been in the league for ages would be looking pretty good at camp.
Yeah, I mean,
he's fine.
How do you have more Saints or more Giants players in your teams, Davis?
Way more Giants. Yeah.
The Saints are such a, I mean, you go it's down so the board, gross. You're like Kamara. Oh, this doesn't sound fun. Michael Thomas, when I could take Gabe Davis or, you know, whatever. No, I'm not going to do that. Chris Olave, when I could take Garrett Wilson or somebody yep. instead. Nah.
It's just, like, up and down. There's always someone I like more. Well, I mean, talking about pending suspensions, I mean, it's kind of priced in for Alvin Kamara, but I don't know if it's priced in for missing a lot of time.
It's also not priced in that he might just be cooked, too.
Well, I don't think he's cooked, but I think the offense might be cooked.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, they were pretty bad on offense last year.
Well, they got, I mean, they've revamped it completely. Complete revamp.
They were not really letting Jameis cook last year. But yes, obviously the wide receiver.
Yeah, but who was their wide receiver? We've already talked about it. Who were their wide receivers last year?
I was looking at 2021 ADP yesterday. I don't remember what I was looking at it for. Why? Do you remember Marquez Callaway's final ADP after everything was all said and done?
Oh. Wasn't he in like the ninth round?
He's like Spike Week.
He was like wide receiver 42.
Dude, that was nuts.
Did he literally did he score a touchdown?
I have no idea. I mean, I know.
Let's find out.
He dominated August. The steady drumbeat was a pounding on Marquez Callaway.
He really did. I mean, it was insane.
Real quick, actual question about the Saints backfield. I mean, Mark Ingram's barely being drafted.
You got to start taking, like, I've been taking him a lot. Yeah.
I was going to say, is there anyone else that's a competition?
Well, they'll sign someone. If Kamara truly is suspended for 8 games, they will sign someone.
Yeah.
I don't know who. Don't ask me who, but there's always someone out there.
But it is interesting how it's like, obviously Kamara is going probably a round later than where he would if there was no suspension risk. And yet Mark Ingram's ADP isn't pushed up at all. I haven't taken him either. Like, it's a blind spot for me. And I'm just here being like, I need to have some more of that backfield.
Yes.
All right. That will do it for this show. Final thoughts, Davis? Anything you learned today on this show?
If anyone sees a way to get short on the Cleveland Browns win total, send me a message because I would like to bet. Because I'm so stupid. Like it was hanging out there. It was hanging out there at like 10.5, and I was like, oh, I don't know. Do I want to tie up the money? And it's so obviously like, that's why I'm not a very good sports bettor. I'm just Johnny Public when it comes to these dumb bets.
All right. Pete, final thoughts?
If you see a zany tweet from Davis tomorrow between 7 to 8 p.m. Eastern, just reply to it. Yeah, that sounds about right. And it'll make him less conscious.
All right. I will say that we learn stuff all the time on these shows, and today was no different. Pete learning there is not really a cure for asthma. And us going down the different paths, that's what makes the Swolecast so special. If you are a sponsor and you want to sponsor the show, hit us up. Hit us up.
Your ad could go virtually anywhere.
Oh, man. I mean, we've talked about some of the companies that could sponsor the show. I really feel like beef jerky, you know, Hims or whatever that is, anything that Davis, what would you say would be the company
that would advertise on this show?
Yeah.
Yeah. That would be a good product fit.
Yeah.
Like a best ball drafting website. Gosh, I don't know if we know any of those.
You're so boring. You need have fun with that, Pete.
Probably. No. How about At Home Gym Equipment? Best, you know, because we're all in the best shape of our lives.
Davis, arms are looking like they are looking big. Like,
bro, I mean, there's
no definition there, but they're
Let's see it, Dave.
I would have a lot of definition if their life. I would have a lot of definition if I didn't eat like a fat fuck.
Hey, your ad could go right here.
Look at that.
And Pete also has the tan filter on his lights, so it makes it even more. Yeah,
my new camera gives me the sun kiss filter.
All right, mine gives me the. I mean, I'm in the most tan shape of my life, and I still this lighting. Anyways, all right, leave us a comment, just like the video. subscribe, whatever. We'll see you next week on the Swolecast here on RotoGrinders.com. Peace.